hope everyone's had a great week, and particularly as we've approached Mother's Day and thought on all of the things that our mothers have done for us and for those that are married, the things that their wives have done for them in their life. Today, I'm not particularly preaching a mother's message, but a message about women in general, and hoping that it will be a blessing. I have to admit that I'm struggling with a cold right now, and it kind of hit me like a freight train yesterday afternoon, and I was crashed out on the couch from 8 o'clock at night till 6 o'clock this morning, and I'm still fighting it really hard, so I don't quite have the energy level right now. But looking at our passage in Luke, Luke chapter 11, we see quite an interesting commentary. It's such a small little portion of scripture, but we have such a big window into the life of Mary and Martha. We have Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word. We have Martha busying herself with the cares of running a household, of preparing a meal, and whatever else needed to be done, cleaning. Let's take a look at these two sisters, who I think are probably quite different in their nature, in their personality. Look at Mary Magdalene. Well, we know from Scripture that the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 8 that she had seven devils in her, that Christ cast them out. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, of whom went seven devils. And we see another verse later on tells us in Mark chapter 16 that Christ cast those devils out. They didn't just leave. Christ cast them out. Another aspect that we see of Mary is that she's one of the Marys that's at the cross. John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 25. One of the few that was there. John 19, 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. So she's one of the women at the cross, Mary Magdalene. Still in the same book, we look at John chapter 20, verse 1. We see that she was one of the first women to come to the tomb. She came with that group. She was a part of that. The first day of the week, John 20, verse 1, cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. So we see a very dedicated woman here. We also see that she was the first person that Christ revealed himself to in the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 9. Mark chapter 16, verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. We also know that she broke a bottle, expensive ointment, and anointed Christ with it, and wept. We read that Christ said that she did this for his burial. So a very godly woman, a woman that was focused on the Lord. We have her sister, Martha. Take a look at John chapter 11. One of the things that we read in John chapter 11 is that the love that Christ had for Martha. John chapter 11, verse 5. We read, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." He loved all three of those there in Bethany. Something that I found interesting in our text in Luke 11 was you notice that word in Luke 11, 38. Her house. "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received her into her house." I would think that that would imply that this was her home. It's possible some believe that she was a widow, and that this was the house that her husband had left her. But you see that it says her house. And of course that factors into the service that we see her giving. You know, when a person owns a home, or is that's their home, whether they be renting it or owning it, but they own that home, it's theirs. They have a degree of duty, of pride to not only to keep it clean, but to serve company and to bring company into their home. And so here we've got Mary Martha allowing Jesus and his disciples to come into her home. We see that she was caught up in service. In verse 40, we read, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And the Lord says in verse 41, Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" I tell my message here, one thing is needful. Christ said, one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. She was caught up in service. Martha was. And we see this even after this time in John chapter 12, verse 2. And this is after, chronologically, as I understand, it would be after this period here. In John 12, verse 2, they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Again, we see Martha serving. And service is good. Serving is good. But she went a little off track by being cumbered about with service. And we'll talk about that in a moment. We notice that she was a very practical person. You know, some people are very practical. Some people are kind of pie in the sky, and they dream a lot, and they want to do things, and they don't actually do it. And then there are certain people that are practical, and they choose what they're going to do, what they're not going to do, what's too much to take on, what they ought to take on, and they have that practical mindset. They're realistic, and I think that Martha had a realistic, practical sort of mind. You see that in her service. We see it later in John chapter 11, verse 39, where we read that when the Lord said to pull away the stone from the tomb, that Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." You know, she was practical. She says, "Wait a second. See, he's going to stink. This is going to be, it's going to," she's probably thinking in her mind that this is not the way she wants to remember her brother. Of course, the Lord had something greater in mind. I think it's also possible that she was somewhat invisible. As you read some of these different accounts, the account here in Luke chapter 10, the account in John chapter 11, we see a woman who is very busy, and you don't see a lot of people like help jumping up to help her. I mean, she's even going to Jesus and saying, tell her to bid her that she'll come help me serve. And, you know, there are a lot of people that are like that, that are somewhat invisible, that are quietly working away in the background, working away diligently. And there's nothing wrong with that, with being that kind of a person. Now, if we are not that kind of a person, if we find ourselves not being that diligent type, we should be seeking out those invisible ones and saying, hey, let me help you with that. Let me carry that burden. So we should be looking out for those that are sort of sidelined, you might say, or they're not as visible. You know, here she was, cumbered about with serving, and nobody seemed to notice. And I'm sure many, if not all of you mothers here can say, oh yeah, been there. I've been there, and I've wondered. You know, give an example. Emily's sister, Kara, married Paul Dick, and his mom tells a story of when she came home from the hospital after having delivered Paul, and Paul was the youngest of 8 children, I believe. Was that 12? 6? Okay. Of 12 children. And, you know, everyone came running out and took the baby and went running back into the house and left her sitting in the car. You know, invisible. I think she was crying for a little while before her husband came out and found her. But, you know, invisible. And sometimes, you know, the women in our lives, the mothers in our lives, sometimes are that way. And we get caught up in other things. And we leave them to serve alone. That's where we particularly as men and as those young people here, teenagers, children, ought to be looking for ways that they can help their mother. I also think of another case where we see that Martha seemed a little bit on the invisible side was at the death of Lazarus. In John chapter 11, you can take a look there. John chapter 11. You know, they've already sent Christ a word to say that Lazarus is sick. And the Lord Jesus intentionally delayed his coming, knowing exactly what was going to happen, that Lazarus was going to pass away, and that he would then come and raise Lazarus from the dead to glorify the Father. And after that, then, after he's passed, then Jesus brings his disciples to Bethany. And in verse 20 of John chapter 11, we read here, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Now, just to make a quick little note there, as far as Mary sitting still in the house, I mean, a person might read into that and they might say, well, maybe she was disappointed. Maybe she was disappointed in Christ that he had not protected her brother from death. At the same time, though, I don't believe that's what's going on here. We read later that Martha sends a message to Mary and says, the master calleth for you. And Mary just lights out and runs to meet him. But the point I want to look at here is in John chapter 11, verse 20, we see Martha leaving and going to meet with Jesus. And you don't read about a retinue of mourners coming with Martha. She just goes out by herself. Again, somewhat invisible, I think. Whereas, when you look at later in the chapter, in verse 31, let's read verses 28 down. And when she had so said, she went her way, this is Martha, and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. Christ was in no hurry. He didn't go racing over there and say, I've got to go and raise up Lazarus. He was in no hurry. He knew what he was going to do. He waited in that same spot. In verse 31, the Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her. Who's her? Mary. They were comforting Mary. Doesn't seem like they're really comforting Martha. When they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily and went out, following her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. In verse 45, we also see, then many of the Jews which came to Mary that had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. The Jews which came to Mary. As I analyze this, I think that Mary was maybe more in the limelight, more front and center with some of her friends and some of their family. You know, Martha was able to slip out to see Christ without anyone following her. Perhaps I'm reading into this, but I think just a little bit of a character synopsis of Martha. We read in Luke chapter 10 now about Mary. We've talked a little bit about Mary, but now we're going to look particularly at this incident here. We see in verse 39 that she sat. She sat at Jesus' feet. And she had a sister, that's Martha, had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She sat at his feet. There's that a position of learning. She placed herself in a way in which she could learn and listen. And she heard his word, it says there in verse 39, the very end of it. She heard his word. I think we can rest secure to believe that not only was she a hearer of the word, as James puts it, but that she was a doer of the word. See, someone who was deeply spiritual, wanted to know the deeper truths of that Christ was teaching and preaching. We also see that she had her part. She'd chosen that good part. In verse 42, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. And Christ said, which shall not be taken away from her. He says, you can't take that away from her. She'd chosen that good part. We'll talk a little bit more about that and that one needful thing in a moment. Let's flip back to Martha. She's cumbered about with much serving. It's a word we don't use so much, cumbered. Means to, the word cumbered means to be loaded, crowded, perplexed, embarrassed, distressed, burdened, or distracted. And that last definition, distracted, really struck me as one to take note of. Because Martha was so caught up in being that perfect hostess that she was distracted from what she should have been paying attention to. I mean, Christ was only going to be there for a short while. There in their home, but also in the world for a short while. She can serve burritos or, you know, whatever else later. You know, focus on what he has, what spiritual meat he has to offer. She was distracted, burdened. When we are cumbered with things of this world, we are distracted from the thing that is needful. Someone has said, the excellence in service is not as important as energy in soul. So we cannot replace excellence in service with godliness. You think about Martha. You ask the question, well, was she a backslidden believer? I'd say that she was not so much a backslidden believer, but a woman who was caught up in the arm of the flesh and who had been distracted from the most important part. We see that she became dissatisfied in verse 40. She was dissatisfied with Mary. You know, "Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." She was dissatisfied. And when we allow ourselves to be cumbered, working hard is good, but to be cumbered with cares and to be burdened down and to be distracted is not good. When we allow ourselves to be cumbered, we will become dissatisfied. Because it is all work in the flesh, and we've got a limited amount of strength. We will become dissatisfied. She was dissatisfied with Mary. But do you not also maybe see a bit of dissatisfaction with Christ here? Aren't you going to say something to her? Don't you notice that I'm serving alone? Why don't you say something to my sister? I sense a dissatisfaction with Christ here. And it's a downhill progression where it gets worse. It's the proverbial snowball when we become dissatisfied. And in this case, I think we could say that she not only was dissatisfied with Mary, but also perhaps with Jesus Christ for not saying something. That is a mild rebuke, what she says to him. When we take our eyes off of the real purpose that God has for our existence, we gravitate towards earthly things, we will become dissatisfied with people and ultimately with the Lord. So Christ says, one thing is needful. What is that one thing? I think it has to do with the quiet heart that we see in Mary, where Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. She heard his word. She was listening. She was seeking first the kingdom of God. We think of Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." See, on the other hand, the one thing that was not needed was what Martha had replaced. She had replaced a desire to sit at Jesus' feet and learn with an outward service. A person might say, well, how is that wrong? She was showing her love and devotion to Christ by preparing the home, making it just perfect, maybe putting some flowers on the table or whatever that they would do to make it really beautiful and smell nice. Is that Martha was willing to sacrifice her spiritual life? She was willing to walk away, become distracted, to walk away from the teaching that Christ was giving at that moment. She was saying, those burritos are of more importance than what Christ is saying. That's essentially what she was saying. And yes, of course, people have to be fed. But, I mean, we're talking about the man, the God-man, who fed 4,000 on one occasion, fed 5,000 on another occasion. Food is not the problem here. I mean, it is admirable to want to serve Christ. And I would venture to guess that if you and I had Christ visibly come and visit us, that we might be cumbered about with much service. It might be hard to not get in a flurry and start to do this, start to do that. And I mean, it'd be easy. But you think about Christ's view of things, possessions, houses, and of food. You think about the time when he was anhungered, he was wearied, he sat at the well there in Samaria, and that woman comes to the well to draw water, and he witnesses to her. And he talks to her about the living water that if she was to drink of, she would never thirst again. And then later when his disciples come, they said, "Has someone given him some meat to eat? He was hungry when we left." He doesn't seem to be that bothered by the food that we're trying to put before him. And he says, my meat is to do the will of the Father which is in heaven. Christ is not worried about the physical things. They might be nice burritos, but that's not the point. He's there to teach. He's there to preach. The physical things of this world were of little estimation to Christ. What are some of the reasons that we might become cumbered as Martha was? I think one obvious one is the area of pride. In the case of Martha, this is her home. She's got to make sure it's nice, that there's no cobwebs in the corner, that the meal is done well. And that pride could have been a motivation to put together that meal that the master and his followers would never forget. I'd venture to say that we fight that sort of pride on an ongoing basis, each one of us. Now, it's good to have a work ethic like Martha, but at the same time, it's good to have the heart of Mary. And I don't seek to push Martha down into the dirt. I believe that the Lord did rebuke her, but we also see the Lord's love for her, and we see both a hardworking ethic, but also the heart that's geared towards the Lord is necessary. I think a lot of times we value our own self by our productivity. I know that when I get a lot done in a day, I have those days sometimes that you just fly through different things, and you're like, whoa, got so much done today, and you're so happy. And then you get those days when things fall apart, things break, you got the wrong tool, you got the wrong part, and you feel like you didn't get anything done. And we often value ourselves by our productivity. We can't look at ourselves that way, though. You know, we look at that familiar verse in 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. We need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Pattern our life after godliness. And that should be the value. If we look at ourselves at the end of the day and we say, well, you know, I've won some spiritual battles today. This has been a good day. Then that's good. You know, when we're busy, we're too impatient to hear the still small voice. When we're racing around just with busyness. You know, this week I was driving somewhere and I was getting ready to turn on CBC and listen to the radio or to even put on audio book. And the Lord seemed to impress upon my mind, just be still. Know that I am God. Meditate. Pray. So start doing that. And I feel like I was looking for some direction or some sort. I don't even remember what the prayer was, but it was some sort of a direction or an answer, more of an immediate sort of an answer. And I didn't feel like I was getting it. So I kind of was feeling like I should just throw up my arms and say, okay, well, Lord, I'm not getting anywhere with this. I wanted to go back to plan A. The Lord just kept pressing upon my heart. Just be still. And the Lord blessed as a result of it. You know, and as I was thinking about that there that day when I was driving around, Matthew 26:40 came to my mind when the Lord comes and finds Peter asleep there on the Mount of Olives, and he says, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? You know, we pray for 10 minutes, and we're like, but Lord, where's the answer? We get caught up in busyness. Some practical things to watch out for is to be careful not to replace ministry for godliness. A person might say, but look at all the things that I did for God this week. I went and helped to this person with that project. I went and shoveled this person's snow. We had this service over here. We had that service over there. And a person can get caught up in the busyness and say, well, it's all for a good reason. And yet their soul is famished. Just like those 7 lean cows that Pharaoh saw in his dream. Famished. Our spirit and soul are famished because we had not spent time in the Word of God. We cannot replace ministry, even if it's good ministry, we cannot replace that for soul nourishment. Because we'll only be able to carry on with service for the Lord for so long if we are famished spiritually. We'll have a syncopal episode where we'll spiritually faint because we have not been sustaining our spirit and soul through the Word of God. I know for mothers, one of the challenges can be in the area of child rearing, isn't it? You know, whether it be in the home or whether it be even in a service, and you're trying to hear the preaching of God's Word, and you know, Johnny's, you know, wound up and is preaching louder than the pastor, and you're trying to deal with that, and you've got the messy diaper that just sort of exploded, and you've got to find not only a new diaper but new clothes, and you're trying to do all this, and I know it's a challenge, but we have to try to focus our attention on what is the most important thing: God's Word. Same in the home, as far as having personal devotions. That could be a challenge, when, especially if the baby wakes up at the same time as you wake up, if you've got a baby, and you're trying to get into God's Word before the children all wake up, and yet everyone's awake at the same time, it seems, sometimes. We have to push ourselves to make time for God. As we think about this in conclusion, physical service is still necessary, but it's not to replace the spiritual appetite, whether it be through the Word of God or through the preaching of the Word of God. Every woman in her own right needs to be that practical Martha in some respects, but to have the heart of Mary, to be sitting at the feet of Jesus, to be listening. She had her part, as Jesus said. Mary hath chosen the good part. She focused on spiritual things. Are you a Mary? Are you cumbered? Are you troubled? You know, Jesus spoke about. I'm sorry, are you a Martha? Are you troubled and cumbered? And the Lord said of Martha in our passage in Luke chapter 10 that she was, thou art careful. You might say, well, careful, but isn't that good? Well, we have to understand what that word means in the context, and what that means is to be wound up with cares. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That means full of cares, full of concerns, full of sorrows, full of anxiety. And she was all of that. She was cumbered. She was wound up in care. She was troubled, not just about some things, but Jesus said, about many things. You know, is that you? Do you feel that way? Do you feel invisible sometimes, like Martha? One scurrying back and forth with pots and pans, and nobody says, hey, can I help you with that? And for the rest of us that aren't mothers, are we watching out for the invisible mothers in our life, and the invisible women in our life? Are we helping them so that they're not tempted to replace godliness for busyness? That's something we can never surrender, is godliness, that spiritual appetite to get into God's Word. I mean, women and mothers in particular, mothers have a duty in the home. I mean, fathers have been given the primary responsibility of teaching their children, but mothers have a strong responsibility to teach their children the ways of God. And if she doesn't have it coming in, she's not going to have anything going out to give to those children. I ask Brother Kuiper to come at this time with a closing song of invitation. I encourage each one of us, men, women, mothers, fathers, children, to never replace busyness for godliness. but to make that the first priority, to have the good part rather than focusing on the material.